Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Hey Omid Beis. Note, we're Hey Omid Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. We are beginning with a Gemara that appears in a bracket. Truth be told, at the end of our previous shiur, we gave an introduction to what we are about to learn right now. But for those who might be first-time listeners, a brief recap. In our previous sukkah, we were dealing with the source for a sukkah minimum size 10 tochim. And so we went through what we have listed as Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3, and most recently we saw Roman numeral number 3 maintaining that according to the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, the shiur of 10 tochim for minimum height of sukkah is halacha l'moshe misani hilchas gemiri law, and this was brought into the Gemara by Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, who mentioned that there are 3 areas of halacha that are covered by halacha l'moshe misinai. 3 areas that he mentions. That's not that there aren't other areas. In fact, there are. But 3 points. And he mentioned shiurim, chatzitzin, u'mechitzin. And as far as that which was relevant to our sukkah, it happened to be mechitzin. Mechitzin meaning walls or separations or definition of domain that is governed by a halacha moshe misinai, that being the minimum size of a mechitza, is hilchis mechitza, as Rashi says, is 10 tefachim. And with regard to a sukkah, the term mechitza has a connection to the concept or the idea of a wall. So the sukkah wall would have to be 10 tefachim, and above that would be the schach. The answer given by the Gemara, as we mentioned a moment ago, that was according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. The Tana Rebbe Meir, who had been featured in our previous shiur, learned the height of sukkah based on psukim. The Gemara, after the brackets on Daf Vav, Omid Beis, will then come back to Rebbe Meir and ask the question, so what does Rebbe Meir learn from the Halacha L'moshe Misinai regarding Mechitzin? And that you can see in the upper part of Daf Vav Amud Beis after the bracketed section. And that's why we have the brackets. And what's the point? That as far as Mechitzin is concerned, a mechitzin is necessary as a halacha moshe misinai for the purpose of Rabbi Yehuda and his source for 10 tefachim. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, and that's what you accomplish by skipping the brackets, you maintain the flow, where the Gemara then jumps in to, what does Rabbi Meir learn from the halacha moshe misinai, and the Gemara will answer that. In the brackets, in this very long bracketed section, the Gemara turns its attention to the 2 other points that Reb Chiya Bar Ashi mentioned, namely Shi'urin and Chatzitzin. So if you notice on the side of the Gemara, we have our topic heading, the Nosei, and we indicate Basograim ad Daf Vovamid Beis, Shi'urim, Chatzitzin, Mechitzin, Halacha Moshe Misinai. The Gemara will be touching on these. The truth is that the issue of the Mechitzin is not going to be in the brackets. And we have additional markings. We have a triangle, and that's explained under the Mivneh heading. These triangles represent kushios al ha dinemar deshurim chatzitzin havion rak halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara will be challenging Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi's contention that shiurin and chatzitzin are governed by halacha l'moshe misinai, which means an oral tradition stretching back in time to the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, but not sanctioned or founded upon actual psukim, actual verses. The Gemara in the brackets where you see these two triangles appearing will be challenging that. Namely, how can you say that Shiurim Haralochalim and Shemi Sinai when, if you look in the Gemara, first triangle says Shiurim Doraisoninu. The idea of Shiurim means measures or quantities of different items in a halachic context, that they are, in fact, based on a pasuk. So how can you say, or why do you say, that it's merely halacha lemoshe misinai? Further in the Gemara, you can see three lines from the bottom, a diamond appears, and you'll see there's a series of diamonds that continue down the upper few lines of Vav Amud Aleph. The diamond represents, and you can see on under our Mivneh heading, Zayin Haminim Shaperos Eretz Yisrael. These are the seven varieties of fruit, vegetable growth. It's fruit and grains that the land of Israel was blessed with. And there are seven varieties of vegetation that are like that. And if you just follow with the diamonds, you can see they include chita, saora. Saora is on the fourth line from the top of Vav Amud Aleph, and following that, gefen, teina, rimon, zeis, shemen, and devash. We'll speak more about them as we go along in the Gemara. But as far as the superstructure of the Gemara is concerned, it's very important to have everything mapped out beforehand. The first triangle will be challenging Reb Chiya Bar Ashi's point regarding Shiurim. And the Gemara will read Shiurim Doraisa Ninu. That's at the very beginning of the brackets. The next triangle that you'll see, more than halfway down Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara will be asking Chatzitzin. Chatzitzin is the realm of interposition when immersing in a mikveh. How can Reb Chiya Bar Ashi say that it's halacha l'moshe misinai when the laws of chatzitza are found in a pasuk in the Torah? And that's the general structure of the bracketed section. Now, let's turn to the Gemara text itself, six lines from the bottom. Questioning Reb Chiya Bar Ashi, the Gemara asks, and note this is a long question. It takes you down, look at the long question mark, you can see how far it goes, halfway down Vav Amud Aleph. It's one long question. The Gemara asks, Shiurin d'oraisoninu. The source for quantities or measures is based on a pasuk, and it's not just halacha l'moshe misinai, it's not just oral tradition. Shiurim d'oraisoninu. They are based on a pasuk d'chtiv. The pasuk says, "Eretz chita usaora v'gefen uteino v'rimon eretz zeis shemen udevash." That's a pasuk which features the land of Israel is blessed with these different varieties of food. The Omar Rav Chonin call haposuk hazel shiurin emar. Rav Chonin tells us that this pasuk is actually an allusion to different measures, different quantities that have halachic relevance. That's the basic question. Now you notice we call this an internal brackets. If you follow the bracket length marker, which is an additional vertical dotted line, not the dash dotted line, but the dotted line, follow it to where you see it ends on Vav Amud Aleph, and you'll notice right afterwards the Gemara says V'tisbara. It's about halfway down, a little more than halfway down. The Gemara says V'tisbara. This is a response. So that without getting into details, we can keep the main flow, the logical flow. The question was already asked. In other words, we finished the basic question. How can you say that Shiurim Halacha L'moshe Misinai when Shiurim are based on this pasuk? The Gemara will answer, and we're skipping now, just to the after the angular brackets. The Gemara says, V'tisbara. Now, you explain yourself, Shiurim Miksivi. When you read this pasuk that we read, Eretz, Chitu, Sora, Gefen, etc., in that pasuk, do you see any quantity? Elo? The pasuk doesn't have any quantities, it just lists different food items. Elohil Chisoninu. The association of these different food items with actual quantities, that is halacha l'moshe misinai. Ukro asmachto b'yamu, the pasuk serves only as a we'll call it a memory device or something that's associative with the oral tradition. But the pasuk is not the basis of the oral tradition. The word asmachta literally means something to lean upon, so that the oral tradition is the basis, and it leans upon the pasuk to help you remember what the different quantities are. But the pasuk's purpose is not to report quantities. So as far as the original teaching of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, eight lines from the bottom of Hey Amud Beis, that remains, that Shi'urin are Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. Now we go back to the beginning of the angular brackets, after having cited the pasuk with the different food items that the land of Israel is blessed with. How do they relate to quantities? Chita, lebeis hamenuga. The chita is wheat, and wheat has ramifications regarding the laws of entrance to a house that's afflicted with tsaras. As many of you know, tsaras affects a person's body. It can affect the person's clothing. And as we say affect, it means it can appear not only on one's body, it can appear on clothing or on fabric, and it can appear in a house. So with regard to house-related tsaras, there's a Tanaic source, Disnan. The source says, Hanichnas lebeis hamenuga v'kelov al seifav. A person who enters an afflicted house and he has kelov, or his clothing, he is not wearing these particular clothing items, he's carrying them on his shoulder, the sandolov v'taboisov biyado, and his shoes and his rings are in his hand, he's not wearing them, he's carrying them, hu v'hein tamein miyad, the person who enters and these items become defiled. There are laws of defilement that are associated with entrance to a house of Negoyim, a house that's afflicted. They become Tomei immediately, without any delay aspect, immediate Tuma. However, there's another scenario, and that's described at the top. We're now at the top of Davov Omer Aleph. Hoya Lovush Kelov. He was wearing clothing, v'sandolov beraglov, v'tabosov besvoisov, and his shoes are on his feet, not in his hand before. He's wearing his shoes, and tabosov, his rings are on his fingers. He's wearing the rings. Hu tamei miyad, the person himself, like we said before, he becomes tamei immediately upon entrance to the beis hamenuga. However, v'hein tahorin, the items that we mentioned, these clothing items, they remain undefiled until he tarries, he delays in the house the amount of time to eat a pras. Pras is a half a loaf. As far as how much is in the half a loaf, that's beyond our discussion right now. The Gemara in Erevin talks about it, the actual quantity. That is not important for right now, but there is a time element, how long one would need to be delayed or tarry in the house before the begodim become themselves tamei. How much time is that? The amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf. Now, as far as that amount of time, it's affected by what kind of loaf is it. Different types of grains lead to different time frames in which to be consumed. Some are easier to swallow and chew, some are harder to swallow and chew. So that's pointed out now. Pas chitin velo pas sorin. This half a loaf is a half a loaf of wheat bread, not barley bread. Mesav v'ochel b'lifton, and it's the amount of time to eat the half a loaf while reclining and eating it together with something that is of an accompanying nature, a type of dip. Lifton is that which accompanies the bread. What's important for us right now is that which we dashed underline, and as is the case in Gemara Markins, you find this many times, all you really need is one word from this entire source for the connection to our sugya. What's the one word? You see it dashed on a third line from the top. Chitin, wheat. It's wheat. Wheat has relevance to the shiur of shihia, of tarrying in a beis hamenuga, in order to know how much time it would take for the clothing that a person is wearing to become defiled. We continue. Sora. The Pasuk mentioned the Sora. Sora is barley. By the way, maybe we should have mentioned, but Rashi says this, that with regard to the bread, the wheat bread is consumed more rapidly than barley bread. So it's a shorter amount of tarrying in the house in order for the tumah, the defilement, to set in. However, we continue now. Seora, this is in the diamond. Desnan etzem kiseora mitame b'magu v'maso v'eino mitame b'oyel. This deals with the topic of defilement to the dead, specifically bones of the dead. Bones will communicate tumas meis if you have a very small piece of bone, but its minimum size for it to be effective would be the size of a barley grain. So a little piece of bone, barley grain in size, communicates tuma, but only through maga, through contact, and masa, through carrying or supporting it, as opposed to tumas oil. There's eino matame boil, means through overshadowing a piece of bone, there is no defilement. Geffen. For as far as Geffen is concerned, Geffen has to do with the vine, grapevine. We have an illustration in the Pirush Chai, the sefer that we've been using of the Book of Illustrations, on page 18, the top picture 75. What you see in that picture is, we would refer to that as displacement. So, what are we illustrating there? So first we read the Gemara. Geffen has to do with, as we say, the grapevine or wine. Kedei revius yayin lenozier. A nozier is a person who had vowed not to partake of wine and vine related products. If we look in the Rashi, in the narrow lines, a little more than halfway down, Kedei revius yayin, bishar isure nazir, deika leman deomer seches nazir, dechartzan lovim v'olov mitstarfen l'shiur revius yayin. When we speak about the nazir being prohibited in wine, there is an opinion that says he is prohibited in all other vine-related items, like grape seeds, grape skins, tendrils, grape leaves. They're mitztaref, they can join up to create to the shiur of a revius yayin. That would mean that if you eat a certain amount of grape leaves, how much? Well, the amount would be a revius of wine. Now, what does that mean in practical terms? Shim yitnam lekois mole yayin. If you were to take grape leaves and put them into a cup of wine, a cup of wine that's filled to the brim, ad shiyetse mimenu revius yayin, an amount that would cause we've mentioned before, filled to the brim, it's not necessarily the case, but it's the amount of grape vine materials that would cause a displacement of this quantity of revius. Revius is a certain amount as far as how much it is in terms of ounces. So you can think in terms of a little more than 3 ounces of wine. So how much grape leaves or how much grape seeds would be necessary to displace, to cause an overflow of a revius of wine? That quantity of grape leaves would be forbidden for a nazir to eat. Now, of what significance is it that we're saying that a displacement of a revius of wine as opposed to, let's say, the displacement of a revius of water? So there's a difference. The Ein Doime, Rashi goes on, the Ein Doime, HaMishayar B'Kois Mole Mayim, LeMishayar B'Yayin. You can't compare a cup filled with water to a cup filled with wine. Mishum D'Yayin Ov Hu. Wine is a thicker liquid. It has higher level of viscosity. V'Eino M'Mahir Lotzeis. It doesn't overflow as quickly. a greater meniscus will form with wine as opposed to with water. So it doesn't rapidly leave. Ela nivratz v'nigdash. It forms a dome and heap in a heaping sense. Al svas hakos yosim min amayim, more than water. So at the point at which you've put a, in order to push out of the cup, that's the filled cup of wine, in order to push out of that cup a revius of wine, you'll need more material than you would in order to push out of the cup a revius of water. So that's the relevance of Geffen in the Pasuk to the issue of quantities. Geffen, then, in this case, represents wine, a cup filled with wine. How much wine? How much vine materials would be needed to displace a revius of wine? That amount of grape leaf or grape seeds that was capable of displacing a revius of wine would be forbidden for a nazir. And if a nazir would eat that, so he would be in violation of his nazirus. We continue in the Gemara. Te'ena, a fig. Grogeres, lo tzah shabbos, a grogeres is a fig. So it's the amount of substance that one carries out on Shabbos. Let's say a person's carrying out food on Shabbos. We're talking about the quantity of carrying of food specifically. Other items have their own shiurim, they have their own quantities. But with regard to food, how much food it would be needed to be carried out on Shabbos, and then at which would in order to result in a Shabbos violation. On Shabbos, it's forbidden to transfer items from one domain to another. So if one would carry out a fig quantity of food on Shabbos from a private domain into the public domain or vice versa, that would be a Shabbos violation. So simply put, te'ena is a shiur regarding hoitzas oichlin on Shabbos. Rimon, a pomegranate. What does a rimon, what relevance does rimon have to shiurim? We'll see very shortly. It has relevance regarding vessels and their purification or their inability to receive tumah, to become defiled. In general, a vessel, a cup, a bowl, a plate, these are items that are subject to defilement. If, however, they become damaged, a hole develops in them, if it's a sufficiently large-sized hole, the vessel will be considered at that point a shever kli, a non-vessel. And hence, it would not be subject to tumah absorption, to kabbalas tumah. So, we have a source, disnan. The source says, kol kli bale batim, privately owned vessels, privately owned as opposed to vessels that are made for sale, privately owned vessels, shiuron kerimonim, a hole that develops in those vessels, the size of a rimon, will render it a non-kli, will render it something that's free of tumah. It will repel, it won't absorb, it won't become defiled. And alternatively, if it's already defiled and a hole of this size develops, the kli will become tohor. We continue. Eretz zeis shemen. The zayis is an olive. Zeis shemen, olive oil. So the focus, though, is on the word zayis, olive. Eretz shekol shireh kizesim. The land, all of whose quantities are measured in terms of an olive size. The Gemara asks, "Kol shira salkedaita chaiko hani damrinon." What do you mean? All quantities, all halachic quantities, are measured in terms of an olive. What about everything we've said till now? They were not olive quantities. Elo ema, rather say, the land sheroiv shira kizesim. The most halachic issues are decided by an olive quantity, and in fact, Rashi lists off all the different areas of halacha that are affected by an olive quantity. If you look in the Rashi on the wide lines, fourth, fifth wide line under the Gemara text, meis, neveila, isur chelev, isur chelev, v'dam, pigul, noisur tome, v'gid anoshe, a lot of different areas of halacha that are affected by a kezias. Hence, the word zayas in the pasuk is a reference to those other many areas of halacha that have relevant to the olive quantity. And what else? Dvash. Dvash. Many translate dvash as honey. In fact, it's a reference to date honey. So dvash for our purposes is a reference to dates. The date fruit, kekoseves hagasa. Koseves hagasa is a large date, biyom hakipurim. That has relevance to the realm of eating on Yom Kippur. In order for one to be considered in violation on a Torah level of Yom Kippur eating, which is of course forbidden, how much would one need to eat in order to be in violation of Yom Kippur? A date quantity of food. After all said and done, Alma, we see from all of this, Doraisa Ninu, that Shiurin are Doraisa, and not just Halacha Lemoshe Misinai. The Gemara answers, Vitisbara, explain yourself. Shiurin Miksivi, are quantities written in this Pasuk, the Pasuk Eretz Chita, Sora, etc., that we saw before? Are the quantities written in the Pasuk? Elohilchisoninu, the idea of quantities, this category of this concept of quantities stated in terms of these different food items is an oral tradition. Ukro asmachto bi'almahu. The pasuk is merely an asmachto, a reference point, an allusion to that which was taught by virtue or through an oral tradition. We continue with our next triangle. Chatzitzin d'oraisa ninhu. The issue of chatzitza of interposition, why does Rav Chiya bar Ashi say that it is merely a halacha l'moshe misinai, when in fact the laws of chatzitzin of interpositions have a basis in the pasuk dichtiv? The pasuk says v'rochatz b'mayim. We learn from this, which has to do with immersion in a mikveh, shelo yehe dover chotzeitz beino levein hamayim. There should be nothing blocking him, the person's skin and the water. There must be direct mikveh water contact between the person who's immersing and the water. So what is the role of halacha Moshe Misinai when we have a pasuk? The Gemara answers, both are true. We have the pasuk, which is the source for chatzitza. However, the halacha Moshe Misinai that Rav Chiya bar Ashi was referring to has relevance with regard to hair. Before we go further, let's note on the side of the Gemara we have a mivneh heading, where a double underline is featured, and you'll see that we highlight the expression ki asoi ilchisa. Under for what purpose does the halacha come, the halacha Moshe Misinai? These are nisyonos, these are attempts to hasbir, ma nilmad me'ayuchisa b'inyin chatzitza. What is learned from the halacha Moshe Misinai regarding chatzitza me'achar diyesh mikra? After all, we do have a pasuk. So, we continue in the Gemara, ki asoi hilchisa l'saro. The halacha Moshe Misinai comes for the purposes of hair-related halachas in mikveh, in immersing. Kidarabo bar chano. In accordance with Rabbo's teaching, the Omar Rabbo bar chano, as he has said, nimo achas kshura chotzetzetz, a singular hair that is knotted when one is immersing in the mikveh, so his mikveh immersion will not be successful, will not be acceptable, because a singular hair that's knotted causes a blockage of the water from reaching all the hair itself. The knot is serves, as we say, as a block. The water doesn't get into the knot. Shalosh, if you have three hairs, strands of hair that are tied together, einon chatzitzotz, they don't present a problem of chatzitza, because the nature of hair is such that a knot made of three hair strands that are three strands of hair together that are knotted into one knot, it cannot be extremely tight, and hence water will penetrate the knotted section. So our interest is water getting to all parts. Well, the water will penetrate the knot. Shtayim eini yodea. Two hairs knotted. So Rabbo Bar Bar Chana says, I don't know what the halacha would be. Is that a tight enough not to prevent the water from getting in or not? The Gemara asks, Sairo Nami Doraisa Ninu. The issue of hair is also covered by the Pasuk. Dichtiv, the Pasuk actually says, Barochas Es Besaro Bamayim. This is the Pasuk that we quoted before, but in a fuller sense. You can see that here we've dashed on the word S, and the word S, as Gemara says, equals S HaTofil Besaro. The word S comes to include that which is subsidiary to one's flesh. The requirements of water coming into contact with one's flesh isn't limited to flesh. It extends to that which is subsidiary to flesh, i.e. the hair, umayinu. And what is tofel? Tofel subsidiary to one's besar, one's flesh? Sairo, his hair. So we're back at the starting point. How can Rav Chiya Bar Ashi say that chatzitzin is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and try to explain that it has relevance to hair when the hair is governed by the verse itself, not oral tradition? The Gemara answers, Ki asoy hilchisa l'chida Rebbe Yitzchok. The halacha Moshe Mitzrayim has reference to laws of immersion with regard to that which Rebbe Yitzchok teaches. The Amar Rebbe Yitzchok. We continue at the top of Vav Amud Beis. Devar Torah. Now, Devar Torah is an interesting expression. Rashi immediately says it means halacha lemoshe misinai. The halacha lemoshe misinai of chatzitza tells me the following. Before we go on to say what it does tell me, we can tell you what it does not say. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim does not tell me that flesh needs to have direct contact with water, nor does it tell me that hair needs to have direct contact with water. That, in fact, is from the Pasuk itself. So what does the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim tell me? It tells me the following. It tells me that Rubo Umakbir Olav Chotzeitz. There happens to be a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, regarding what this is referring to. Rov means the majority, and Makbit means something that you are mindful of. Does this have reference to skin, to flesh, or does it have reference to hair? We will avoid getting into that controversy, but we will simply refer to these categories of quantity and mindfulness, so that based on the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. When is a chatzitza a problem? Only if the majority, let's say if you take Rashi's pshat, the majority of one's hair is dirty, rubo, the majority, and makbid, and you also are mindful of it. It bothers you that there is this foreign substance. Then chotzeitz. So you have to have two factors, and we've dashed underlined them. Rubo and Makbid. If those two things are in place, the majority is covered, and covered with a foreign substance, and you are mindful of it, it bothers you, it upsets you, then that is a chatzitza. V'she'eno Makbid olav eino chotzeitz. If it doesn't bother you, even though rove of whatever your hair, according to Tosfos, would be your flesh, is covered with this interposition, but it doesn't bother you, eino chotzeitz. From a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim standpoint, from a doraisa standpoint, it's not a problem, and a person could immerse themselves like that and achieve tara. However, v'gozru. Now we squiggle on a v'gozru, because you'll see this is a major point in the upcoming discussion. Gozru means rabbinic intervention, made it such that this too would be a problem of chatzitza, again on a rabbinic level. What was the gezerah they made? So there are two parts, two aspects of their gezerah. The gozru al rubo she'eno makbid, mishu rubo hamakbid. They said that if you have the majority covered with a foreign substance, with dirt or whatever other substance is sticking to your body, and it's covering the majority, even though it doesn't bother you, nevertheless, the rabbi said that it's a chatzitza, it's a rabbinic level chatzitza, and they did this mishum rubo hamakbid, in anticipation of a case where the majority is covered and the person is mindful of. That already is a more severe problem. So as is the case with all rabbinic gezeros, move back one stage and say that this other lesser problem is also considered a problem, is considered unfit, is considered a restriction. Another gzera they made, vi'al, this is another gzera they made, vi'al mi'uto ha-makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid. They also said that if only a minority amount is covered with a foreign substance, but the person is mindful of it, he's bothered, filth, dirt bothers this person, even if it covers a minor part of his body. They said, rabbinically speaking, it will be an ineffective immersion. It will be a problem of chatzitza. And why did they do that? They made that rabbinic restriction in anticipation, mishum rubo ha-makbid, in anticipation of another kind of makbid case, where the majority of his body is covered. And as we said before, that would be unfit on a Torah level, on a Doraisa level. When we say Torah level, we mean Devar Torah, and that's a reference to the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So what have we seen so far? We've seen the most severe level of chatzitzas where the majority is covered with a foreign substance and you are mindful of it. The rabbis intervened, or they added two additional scenarios. They were Rubo Sheno Makbid and Miut HaMakbid. The Gemara asks, is there not another scenario that the rabbis could have made a Xeron Veligzar Nami, Al Miuto Sheno Makbid, where a small part, a minority part, a small part of one's body or hair is covered with dirt, and he's not even mindful of it. But let us say that that will render the immersion unfit. Mishum mi'uto ha-makbid, in anticipation of case, what we had listed before is case 3, which we said is in fact unfit, where mi'ut ha-makbid, inami mishum, or they should make number 4 forbidden, the case of mi'uto she'eno makbid, mishum rubo she'eno makbid. We saw before case number 2, the rabbi said is forbidden. It's not an effective immersion. So why not add case 4 to case 2? Because case 4 also has an element similar to case 2, namely eno makbid. The difference being that in case 4, it was only a minority part of the body covered, or the hair, and in case 2, it was a majority. The Gemara answers, you know why the rabbis didn't go so far as to prevent, to restrict case 4? He gufa gzera. Cases 2 and 3 were merely rabbinic in nature. Ve'anan nekum v'nigzar gzera ligzera. Would we come and arise and impose a further rabbinic ruling to protect that which originally was only rabbinic to begin with? As rules of halacha go, this is called out of bounds. The rabbis will impose a gzeirah, which will say in simplistic terms, something that's problematic, that's one stage removed from the Torah level prohibition, but something that's two stages removed from the Torah level prohibition, that is going too far. And the rabbis would not restrict that. So if you just compare case 4 and compare that with the original case 1, you'll see there are no elements in common. Case 4 spoke about a miut, that's eino makbid. Case 1 spoke about not miut, but rubo. It spoke about makbid and not eino makbid. So there are no elements in case 4 that even resemble the original prohibition, the Doraisa prohibition. Hence, we don't make a gzera ligzera. At this point, you see we're now leaving the bracketed section, and this throws us back to the point we opened up with today in our introductory remarks, Hanicha LeRebbe Yehuda. The point that Reb Chiya Bar Ashi made on Hayom and Beis, that Mechitzin are governed by Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that, as we saw, has relevance for Reb Yehuda, because Reb Yehuda had no other source of learning that the Mechitz of Sukkah, the 10 Tfachim dimension of Sukkah, is based on anything other than this oral tradition. Elola Rabbi Meir, Ma'ikol Meimar, but according to Rabbi Meir, who was featured on Daf Hei Omid Beis, that learned Sukkah 10 Tfachim from Psukim. So, Ma'ikol Meimar, what role does the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai fill within the realm of mechitzin. The Gemara answers, ki asoi hilchasa, halacha l'moshe misinai has relevance in three wall-related halachas. And they're listed here as legud, the lovud, the doifen akuma. These are topics that we've seen previously in our Masechta, so I don't want to delay on them right now. I don't want to spend time, but just to briefly recap what they are. Gud is the concept of it's a legal concept, it's an imaginary but legal concept of a rising or descending wall. Lavud has to do with something that is within three tfachim of something else, so that if you have and we've seen this in previous sukkis as well, where you have you need to attach two items, and we will say they're viewed as attached to one another if they are within three tfachim, and that's called lavud. And doifen akuma, that has to do with a situation where the wall of the sukkah is a bit removed from where it needs to be, so to speak. So if it's within four amos, we apply this rule, this concept of the bending wall. Again, we've discussed these at great length in previous sukkahs, so we're not going to go over all the details. What is important, though, for us right now is that these concepts of gudachas mechitza, or lovud, or doifen akuma, are based on an oral tradition. There are no psukim that serve as a foundation for those points. And that's what Rabbi Meir derives from the oral tradition concerning mechitzin. We continue in the Gemara with a new topic. Of course, you can see a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah had mentioned that a sukkah that lacks three walls is not a kosher sukkah. V'she'en lo shalosh defanas. On the side, we have a topic heading where the Gemara will introduce a machloikis chachomim v'Rabbi Shimon b'mispar defanos shetzorach l'sukkah. A Tanaic controversy regarding the number of walls needed for a sukkah. Now, before we go on, we have illustration 80 that should be available on page 19 of the Pirush Chai. The Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Shtayim Kehilchasan, two acceptable walls, and we say acceptable, let's work with the idea of seven handbreadths, seven tfachim per wall. The width of the wall would be seven tfachim. That's shtayim kilchasan, ushlishis afilu tefachim. The third wall can be even a mere handbreadth. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shalosh kilchasan, urvias afilu tefach. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have to have more. You've got to have three full-size walls, and we said full-size again means seven tfachim walls, and the fourth wall can be even one handbreadth. What's the underlying point of controversy? And here we have on the side a structural note. We feature Roman numerals 1 and 2, so try to see where they appear on the page. And under our note we say, Shnei Mekoros L'shitas Reb Shimon Deboi Dalet Defanos Gimel V'Tefach. We'll be exposed to two sources for Rabbi Shimon's Shita, Rabbi Shimon's opinion of needing, we'll say, the representation of four walls. Three full and one tefach. Well, a double underline will be used for highlighting Rabbanan and Reb Shimon, what each one holds, and each one holds by way of their basis and their sources. We continue in the Gemara after asking the question, what's the underlying point of controversy? Rabbanon Savri, Yesh Eim Lemasores, Reb Shimon Savar, Yesh Eim Lemikra. Now the word Eim literally means mother, but for our purposes it means the main way of darshaning psukim. What needs to be emphasized when you read a pasuk? There are often cases in the Torah where the literal pronunciation of the pasuk, which we call the masoras, the tradition in the way the Torah was given over, does not correspond to the way that we read the word. So you can have a word, for example, sukkos. Now sukkos in the Torah will appear at times as spelled samach chof tof. Now if you were to pronounce that without an oral tradition that we call Mikra, but looking at the letters, the way they were masores, the way they were given over in terms of how to write it, you would read it sakas in the singular. But that's not the way we actually read it. The Mikra is sukos, which is in the plural form. And when we speak about plural forms, we generally mean a minimum of two. So we have a machlokis between the Rabbanon and Reb Shimon. How do you, or what do you emphasize when darshaning psukim? Aim means the emphasis, the main way. Do you emphasize the masores, which is the emphasis on the way the letters appear, or mikra, the way they are read in actuality? Rabbonon Savri. We continue in the Gemara. You'll notice that we have Aleph listed here. The letters number off four different approaches in explaining the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbonis. We have Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and Dav, four different ways under Roman numeral number one in approaching their controversy, Rabbonon versus Reb Shimon. So we continue now with the first approach. Rabbonon hold, Yesh Eim Lamasoras. They emphasize the way the word appears and not the way it's read, and hence there are four psukim that we refer to here only in one word, in basakas besukos. Now we're deliberately distorting the reading. We're reading it as basakas, even though that's not the way you would actually read it in shul, but the way the letters appear would give you the impression that the word in these words, as they appear in different psukim, the three appearances in psukim that we are referring to right now, and where they actually appear in the Torah. So Rashi quotes the psukim, and we've written in where you can find these psukim. The Rabbanon say that the this word that appears three times accounts for Harekan Arba. It accounts for four walls. How is that? Let's go over it again. Basakas is in the singular, and you see that twice. And a third time the word appears, it's spelled out in a full sense, so that the reading the reading of the words, the letters as they appear, the masoros on this is in fact in the plural, basukos. So you have two singulars and one in the multiple, hare kan arba. That accounts for four walls. That would mean a sukkah should have four walls. However, dal chad legufei. When you have a series of words that appear, the understanding is that the first appearance is what's called the gufe, means for itself, and it's not to teach me something additional. It's not here to teach me about numbers. The first time the word appears is to tell me that there is a mitzvah to have a booth that we call a sukkah, but it's not for number purposes. There's a concept known as ein darshin tchilos, that we don't darshin first time things appear. So with that in mind, then, so poshu luhu tvasa, that would leave us with three walls referred to. The first basakas is simply not available. So you're left with one basakas, and then besukos, one plus two, three walls. That's poshu. Poshu means you have a remainder, the remains, tlosa, three. Shtayim kilchosan, two of the three walls must be complete. Vasoy hilchisa, vigarasa, lishlishis, viukmo atefach. And an oral tradition comes and says, remember we said before that there was a halacha l'mashimusina that governs rules of walls. So we mentioned such a thing before. So there's a halacha l'mashimusina that, in addition to the dimension, it also, in addition to the height dimension, it also tells me the width of the third wall of the sukkah can be a mere tefach, whereas the official wall width is seven tefachim. The third wall can be a mere tefach. So what are we left with then? We've accounted for three walls, but all that you really need to have is two full-size walls, and one, the third wall, a tefach. For Rabbi Shimon Sovar, Yesh Eim LaMikra. Rabbi Shimon says the main emphasis in how you darshan psukim is the way they are actually read. And in reading these three words, they are read besukos, besukos, besukos. And we mentioned again, I know we're sounding a bit repetitious, but Rashi mentions the actual psukim. You can see basukos teshvu, and it says yeshu basukos, or another book says ki basukos hoshavti, etc. and so forth. Those aren't partial quotes, but you can see where they come from by looking in the Rashi. So there are three sukos words, each one in the plural. Minimum plural is two. Three times two, six. Hare kan shesh. So that would indicate six walls. However, dal chad kro legufe, one pasuk is removed, is subtracted, as we said before, legufe, telling me about the halach itself that you need to have a sukkah, but it's not there for darshaning purposes, as we said before, ein darshan tchilos. We don't darshan the first time a word appears. So if we subtracted the first pasuk, so pashu lohu arba, then you're left with four walls. Shalosh kilchason, three are expected to be full sized, each one of the three walls seven tfochim in width. Asoy hilchasa v'gor asol l'rafias, the oral tradition comes and informs us that the final wall, the fourth one, can be v'ukmisa atefach and set it up as a mere tefach. So Rab Shimon's halacha. What did Rav Shimon say above? Three full size, and the fourth wall, a tefach, that's how he gets to it. V'iboyesema. And another approach. And in Gemara markings, we often use the squiggle underline to indicate a transition from one version to another version. In this case, we have iboyesema, the transition expression, to a second approach. V'kulei alma yesh eim lemikra. Everyone will agree, not just the Rabbanan, but Rav Shimon will agree that the main way you darshan is the Mikra. And we have to add, and also, ein darshan tchilos. First time a word appears, it doesn't figure in the calculations. The hocha, beha kamifli. So that, and here, their machlokis is based on the following. Mor sovar, schocha baya kra. The Rabbanan say that schach needs a reference. You need a pasuk reference other than the translation of the word. Of course, the Torah uses the word basukos, and the translation, some might have said, equals schach. That's the meaning of the word sukkah. The Rabbanon don't agree with that. The Rabbanon holds schacha bayokra. The schach needs to have a scriptural reference. That having been said, so if, even though we said everyone holds yeshem lemikra, but we also say ein darshan tchilos, so that got you when you said ein darshan tchilos, that they knocked off the first pasuk, then you were left with four walls. Rabbanon say schach needs a pasuk, needs a reference in a pasuk, so that would then account for one of the sukkos words is reduced from instead of two walls to one wall. So that would leave me with three walls, because the other wall referred to in the plural word sukkos is really needed to teach me that you need to have schach. So after accounting for, after knocking off ein darshan tchilos and after knocking and reducing because of the schach, you're left with a maximum of three walls. But even when you have three walls, the halacha Moshe Misina that referred to before says that the third wall can be a mere tefach. So what are you left with then? Two full size walls and the third one a tefach. Umor sava Rabbi Shimon, schach lo bayakra. The need to have schach is such simply because that's the translation of the word sukkah. The mashmos of the word sukkah means a branch covering. So if I don't have to use up any aspect of the sukkos words for schach, then I had four walls accounted for. three full size, and the fourth wall a tefach. The Iboyasema, a third approach to the machlokis, Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan, the Kulei Alma, Yesh Eim Lamasoras. Here there's a big turnaround, that everyone will agree that Masoras is the main emphasis. That means even Rav Shimon will agree that the Masoras is the main way, and we're adding, we also don't darshan the first one, so if with Masoras you'll get to a maximum of four walls, but Ein Darshan Tchilas, that's going to knock off the first pasuk, that's going to leave me with three walls, the Machlokas then is as follows. Mor Sovar Ki Yasu Hilchus L'Gareya. The Rabbanan hold that the Halacha Moshe Misinai comes to reduce. So that if I had three walls, I'm then going to reduce the... In other words, the Halacha Moshe Misinai speaks about a Tefach wall. So as far as the Rabbanan are concerned, that Tefach wall is the third wall that you had accounted for is reduced to a Tefach. Hence you have two full-size walls and a third wall, a tefach. Umar Sava Rabbi Shimon holds kiasoi hilchasa, the hosif. Halacha Moshe Misinai comes to tell me that there is a wall of a tefach, but it's not at the expense of the existing three walls. The existing three walls must be full-size walls. The Halacha Moshe Misinai comes, the oral tradition comes and tells me, add a fourth wall, but it can be a mere tefach. The hosif means, comes to add. The Iboya Seymo, a fourth approach to Kuleyamo, Kiyasa Hilchaso Legarea, V'yeshem L'masores. Everyone will be in agreement that the Halachal Moshe Misinai in fact comes to reduce. And everyone will agree that the main emphasis of Darshanim Psukim is the Masores. That means the way you read, the way the words appear in a phonetic fashion as opposed to the way we read them. The Hocha B'Dorshin Tchilos, Komifli, and here, the basis of the Machlokas is at the way we approach appearance, first appearance of words. Mo Savar, Dorshin Tchilos, Rabbi Shimon, and here's the unique aspect of approach Dalid that we haven't seen till now, is Rabbi Shimon says, you know what, the first time a word appears, it is available for number counting as well. So as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, we are going to darshan the first appearance. Now it's true, Yesh Eim Masoras, but I'm going to be able to account for four walls that way. Basakas, Basakas, and Basukos, that's four walls. And as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, I've got the four walls. It's true that everyone agrees, Halacha Moshe Misinai comes to reduce. So good, so I reduce the fourth wall to a mere tefach. Three walls, three full size, and one tefach. That's Shitas Reb Shimon. Umar Saba, the Rabbanan held, Ein Darshan Tchilos. So I started off with a total of four. However, the first one I reduced because it doesn't figure in the numbering. So I have three walls. The Halacha Moshe is Legarea, so the third wall is down to a tefach. That's two full size walls and a tefach. So up till now, what have we done? We've presented the Machlokis Rabbanan Reb Shimon, where they get their respective ideas. And Reb Shimon's idea, well, we had four different approaches of how Reb Shimon could have come to his conclusions, but we were working with the multiple appearance of the word basukos in the Torah. Rav Matana Omar, we continue with Roman numeral number 2, Rav Matana Omar, Taimei de Reb Shimon's basis of saying four walls, Mei Hocha. It's from the following. V'sukatia litzel yoimom mechorev ulemachseh ulemistor mizerem umimotar. The Torah describes a sukkah. It's, now this is a posuk in Yeshaya, in the prophet Yeshaya, Perek Dalet. It describes what a sukkah is. A sukkah is that which protects you from, it creates shade from the heat of the day, and it protects you from the streams of water in rain, in the rainfall. Well, in order to achieve that, you've got to be surrounded on four sides. So it's based on this pasuk that Rav Shimon comes up with the idea that a sukkah is a four-sided entity. As far as the size of the wall of the fourth side, that's already a detail. We did have Halacha Moshe Misinai that might, in fact, that plays a role, but nevertheless, the idea of it being a four-sided entity is learned from this pasuk in Yeshaya, namely that in order for something to afford protection, you've got to be surrounded on four sides. The three-sided sukkah that the Rabbanan reference wouldn't accomplish what the pasuk says in Yeshaya. But Rabbi Shimon derives his idea of needing four walls, or at least the representation of four walls, from this pasuk. As we continue in the Gemara will deal with the Shitas Rabbanan for the time being. The Shitas Rabbanan that spoke about two walls and a tefach, where do you position that tefach wall? And the topic heading on the side, in fact, indicates that that's what we'll be discussing, where we've written Shitas Rabbanan b'defanas shtein kechson u'shlishi afilu tefach. That third wall, but that's a mere tefach, where do you position it? Now, this discussion will continue down Zion Omid Aleph. It'll keep us preoccupied for quite a piece of time. So this would be a convenient point to pause in the context of our Daf Yomi Shur. But before we actually conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.